You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
A tweeter writes in, Stugatz, baseball fans should tune in to the Le Batard Show YouTube feed ASAP. David Sampson giving an incredibly honest and detailed insight into things teams do to gain competitive edges. I'll give it a listen, someone else write, when it goes on to Apple Podcasts later today. Absolutely love that they have him on weekly. Dude is a dick, but no one really gives more honest insight into the game than he does.
You don't have to be a dick about it.
You don't hear that. And I know many of you object all the time to David Sampson being on with us, and too bad, because if we weren't listening before to what people were telling us, we're certainly not going to do it now.
They've been saying that forever, Dan. I mean,
I just don't care. I really don't. I don't know how else to tell you. I'm here to make the content, and he makes the making of content easy. Basketball did that yesterday for us, Stugatz, because this is some of the stuff. It's not all of it. Some of the stuff that happened yesterday. And if you didn't watch the late game yesterday, we're about to take our gaze away from playoff P, Paul George, and focus it on Ben Simmons now as we move into guys who don't show up when you need them to show up. But Scott Brooks, it leaves the Wizards. Stan Van Gundy, our friend, it looks like he's going to end up back here at some point because very short run with the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. Donnie Nelson out with the Mavericks. Luka is holding a press conference today and is said to be mad about Donnie Nelson being out. Kawhi Leonard out, ACL. Chris Paul, positive COVID test. Mike Conley missing game 5, hamstring. Kyrie Irving out game 6 because of an ankle. But I think today is about laughing at the Sixers, is it not? I cannot believe that they lost that basketball game at home. It's not just that they had a 24 or 26 point lead. It's that they had a 14-point lead with 6 minutes left at home, Stugatz. They got nothing in the second half, nothing from anyone other than the lesser Curry brother and Embiid. Not a single basket from anybody. And I wonder, Amin Alhassan with us here, as the stat line of Ben Simmons looks like the stat line of Furkan Korkmaz, are you ready to declare now? I mean, like, Simmons isn't actually a superstar. He's not a superstar, period.
I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to say that he's a guy with flaws. And unfortunately for him, in the last couple of games, the flaws have been accentuated and the strengths have been weakened. And I think that's the chess game of playoff basketball. Is you got to figure out, how do I get into my comfort zone? And then how do I take you out of your comfort zone? In the first 3 or 4 games of this series, Trae Young looked out of his comfort zone. They kind of stymied him and threw all sorts of traps and stuff like that. And he didn't look great. And now towards the end of the series, now he's kind of taking control. And now everyone's kind of back on the Trae Young bandwagon. Similarly, Ben Simmons was doing a great job defensively. Ostensibly, that was what was making Philly so successful early, was their ability to neutralize Trae Young. And, you know, the adjustments have been made, and he's not as strong at that. And they've accentuated the whole hack of Ben Simmons thing. So I don't think this means, oh, see, I told you he wasn't good. It does mean that there's some playoff chess match happening here that Nate McMillan is winning.
But, I mean, we all know he's good defensively. To be a primary ball handler, a number one pick in the draft, and not be able to shoot foul shots or three-pointers. That's an indictment, man.
What his stat line yesterday in terms of just being someone who evaporated, it's not just the 4 for 14 from the line. It's what did he had a dunk and a layup. He's wandering around out there, and the only shots he can make is a shot any one of us could make.
Right. Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, are we putting him in a position to be successful? To me, it's the same conversation we have about Giannis. If we're afraid of him getting fouled 23 feet from the basket, Let's have him catch the ball 3 feet from the basket. Let's find ways to get him involved around the paint. Let's take advantage of his size. He's 6'10", and he's built like a brick house. Why are we like so devoted to, no, he's a point guard. He's got to bring it up like he's Steve Nash or Steph Curry or someone like that. To me, it goes back to, are we using him in the most effective version of himself? I don't think we are. I don't think the Sixers are. And I think that's accentuating the things he can't do. It's no different than if we had Shaq, right? We all called Shaq the most dominant player and, oh my God, he's unstoppable. He's one of the greatest players. But if the way the Lakers used Shaq was to give him the ball 23 feet in the basket and say, make your way to where you're a good scorer, he would look really, really pedestrian. And we'd kill him for that. Instead of saying, well, wait a second. Why does he have the ball right there? Why can't we get him the ball somewhere where he's more impactful?
In fairness to Ben Simmons, Dan, in that second, they needed someone to step up, anyone to step up, because it wasn't going to be Ben Simmons. Tobias Harris was really bad last night as
but,
well.
Yeah. Okay, fine. But trust the process wasn't about Tobias Harris.
You're right.
Trust the process was about Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. Can those two guys be better than everyone when you go up against another team that also has superstars? And StatMuse gave out the stat because, I mean, I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but the Sixers didn't make a shot for more than 6 minutes down the stretch. They blew a 26-point lead and had a 99.1% win probability. You just don't see that from a one seed at home, ever.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad loss. I mean, nobody's going to say, oh, well, actually, this happened and that happened. No, they played bad. Two guys scored in the entire second half for them. By the way, Curry scoring a lot of that stuff. So, I mean, it was an all-round failure. Look, the memes are going to fly. The jokes should fly. We should be mocking them. We should be making fun of them. We should be making fun of Ben Simmons and Doc Rivers and Embiid and all of them because they earned it with that performance last night. But I'm not ready to say, to do the Skip Bayless jump up. And because this just happened, it means it invalidates everything else we know about these people.
But so you are kind of being, you know, cool-headed about this, but I just get the feeling that, like, Ben Simmons is one of the two best players on a team that wants to win the championship. He's got too many flaws in his game for that to happen at this point. And also, like, if you're playing with Simmons, that's one less spacer on the floor, and that takes room away from Embiid. So if he's going to be in the dunker spot where, you know, Joel Embiid can work, like, I'm not sure this is a combination that can work. Now, they can still come back and win the series, and given how bad Milwaukee has been, how injured Brooklyn is, maybe even get to the finals, but I'm just not sure that this combination can work together long term.
I mean, they had from Embiid the game you need from him on one leg. Capella's got no chance on anything Embiid is doing in the post. They got the Embiid game, and they lost it anyway because they couldn't get anything from anyone else other than Curry.
They got the Curry game. They wasted the Curry game.
They wasted the Curry game, yes, but I think, again, their success should not hinge on did Embiid have the game of a lifetime. And again, I point out, Embiid's second half, 3 of 9. That's your game of a lifetime from Embiid? That's him bringing it in the second half? So the blame is thickly laid across everybody. Doc's got to do a better job of putting his guys in a position to be successful. The guy's got to be able to hit open shots. Ben Simmons has to find a way to be aggressive despite being a foul liability out there. And Embiid has to be able to have the stamina to carry through for, you know, the second half of the game. He was great in the first half and in the second half. And we're kind of giving him a pass because literally everyone else was terrible.
That's two second halves, right? Because he was 0-for-12 in the second half before this one. Let's spin the wheel of issues here for Amin. Here's what's on the wheel of issues. It's Stan Van Gundy. It's Scott Brooks. It's Luka. It's Donnie Nelson. It's all of these injuries. It's Paul George last night, and we just did the Sixers. I hope it doesn't land on that. Go ahead and spin. Just from yesterday, the NBA wheel of issues. I mean, you have your glasses on. Can you see what it landed on there?
It's a little foggy. I should clear it up. Can you guys pick? I can't see.
Not pick. It's
oh, Sixers.
It's been right. Picked. Sixers. God damn it.
Sixers.
Damn.
Oh. What are the odds?
I could stay with the Sixers. I mean, I'm fine with
that. It's not for you, though. It's for Amin. Okay. I don't care about
spin it again.
I don't care about your thoughts on the Sixers.
He's passing.
Jesus, Sixers again. I can't believe it. Go ahead, Amin. Give us some extraneous. I feel like we've beaten the Sixers to death, but this is the thing to laugh about today. How about our friend Pablo saying, this is pathetic. The Hawks fouling Ben Simmons on purpose down 20. Like, today is the day to laugh at Pablo, is it not?
It's all Pablo's fault. I truly believe Sam Hinkie would still be employed today if he didn't know Pablo Torre, if he didn't talk to Pablo Torre. Pablo Torre wrote that article.
Guillermo, put it on the poll.
Great poll.
Would
question.
Sam Hinkie still be employed as the Sixers GM today if he didn't know Pablo Torre?
Pablo wrote that cover story on ESPN, the magazine, and that's when everything changed. They had a nice little quiet experiment. Nobody was paying attention. They're like, oh, the Sixers are bad, but they're rebuilding. And then Pablo writes all about the process and trust the process and all that. And that becomes such a polarizing thing in basketball about the Sixers uber tanking. And as a result, it puts all this undue spotlight and pressure on what's happening. And they're not good yet. And they're not good yet. And this is bad for basketball. And Sam Hinkie's out of a job. But Pablo, he rides high, right? He rides on that wave of stardom. He gets ESPN The Daily and his own TV show. And he's on Around the Horn. Life's good for Pablo.
I also love the idea that we just don't understand Ben Simmons shooting 4 of 14 from the free throw line. That there's some great mystery to Ben Simmons as we're watching him play one of the worst playoff games a star has ever played.
The thing that can be said for Ben Simmons, and I think this is still statistically accurate, I mean, that no one creates more threes for his team than Ben Simmons does. That one of the reasons that the Sixers are good is because they have shooters, and one of the reasons those shooters are good is because Ben Simmons creates. But I do believe we've shifted. What does Paul George have to do for us to shift from Paul George can't do it in playoff games? He just won an enormous one on the road.
Yep.
And while Ben Simmons is coughing up something as the number two guy, that's a 26-point lead with a 99.1% win probability at home.
Stugatz, what does Paul George have to do in order to shift the stuff off of him?
He's got
to
do it in the next game, I mean.
Yes, do it again.
There you go.
It's always do it again. Yes, and keep doing it again. After he does it in game 7 of the finals to win the trophy, he's got to do it the next day during the parade.
Back to back. Dude.
Yes.
He got to repeat. He's got to repeat after that. You win a championship, win another one.
I mean, what do you say to the people who think Doc Rivers has to take Ben Simmons out in that spot? That he has to because they're fouling. They're hacking Ben Simmons. What do you say to them?
So my thing is this, and again, we went through this when we had Shaq in Phoenix. We told them, look, every time they foul you, two things are happening. One, there's another guy on their team who's going to get in foul trouble sooner. Two, our team is going to be in the bonus a lot sooner. We're shooting free throws with the 8-minute mark, which means what? It means that if Steve Nash is bringing the ball up 50 feet away from the basket and the guy checking him gets a little aggressive, that's two free throws for the greatest free throw shooter of all time. If Amari Stoudemire catches the ball and rips through 20 feet from the basket on his way to the basket, that's free throws for him. And so we were encouraging him, get fouled 20, 30 times. Let's keep doing this. Let's keep building the offense. I don't know if Ben Simmons is getting that kind of messaging. And then the other thing is, once we're in the penalty, now we can sit him. And now we can start to take advantage of their inability to defend us without fouling. But I don't understand the idea of just letting him get out there and have his confidence shot and then not taking advantage of it anywhere else on the floor.
Spin that wheel again for me, Whittingham. The mat.
Well, no, it says spin again.
It's the Sixers again. Oh, God damn. I thought it was going to be the thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We need it. Again?
Mavs.
What are the
odds? It says Mavs.
Your glasses are no good. But I want to hear about the Mavs anyway. Go ahead and give us what you've got on the Mavs, because Donnie Nelson being fired. So The Athletic comes out with this article, and Mark Cuban calls it bullshit. And it's about Bob Vulgaris' shadow GM increasing power, friction with Luka. Now there's going to be a press conference with Luka today, and he hasn't signed an extension. What do you think is going to happen there?
I think he's going to sign an extension. Nobody in the history of basketball has turned down the rookie scale extension when it's at the max level. In the case of Luka, it's going to be one level higher than a regular max for someone of his experience. He's going to get the Rose Rule max, which is $200 million roughly over 5 years. Yeah, he's not turning that down, guys. I'm sorry. It's never happened. It's not going to start now. But But there is some serious damage control that needs to happen within the Dallas Mavericks organization. I think what the article hinted at was a friction, not between Luka and Bob Bulgaris, as I said in my essay yesterday, but more about a friction inside that front office. And they've got to figure all that out, because that dysfunction does seep down to where the players are, and it does impact how the team does.
Doesn't Donnie Nelson being out validate that report?
I mean, look, the thing that I know about that report is that somebody inside the Mavs spoke. That's what we knew. Whether what they said was factual or not, right? For instance, there's a part in there where they talk about Bob got up towards the end of a game and went to the end of a loss, and everyone was miffed about that, like this guy just quit on the game. But the reality is, Bob, as there are many staffers on many teams in this league, goes in before halftime and before the end of the game because they got to get the info ready for the team when they come back in the locker room. I know this as a video coordinator. I did this too. I had to go inside because you got to get the stuff ready so that when the team comes in, we've got our video ready, we've got our talking points ready, whatever. That wasn't a we are about to lose this game thing. That was a I got to go get my job done. And so the idea that that would be construed as Bob quit on the team or whatever tells you this is coming from inside and this is coming from someone who has an agenda.
Donnie Nelson had been there how long? A quarter century?
25 years or so, yep.
So what does it mean? It means that it's no longer Bob Vulgaris' shadow GM, correct? It means Bob Vulgaris is the power broker there now.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because I think there is more to the job than just, hey, we should get this player, and hey, these are the lineups we should run, which is ostensibly what a lot of Bob's job is lineup kind of validation and trying to figure out what the best possible combinations are, the substitution patterns and all that, and also, like, you know, player evaluation. Negotiation is a different task, right? We talk about GM. One of the biggest things is my ability to negotiate with agents, my ability to negotiate with other teams. Most importantly, my ability to negotiate with my owner to make sure that the things that we want are the things that we get, and the things that we're not so crazy about, we keep them away. That's the GM's job. And so while I've know Bob and I think he's great at talent evaluation, I don't know about his negotiation skills. I don't know about his interpersonal skills. From a leadership standpoint.
Well, no, you said he could be an asshole. You do know about his interpersonal skills. You said flatly that he can be an asshole.
Yeah, but and also I've never met Bob, the leader of an organization. Maybe there's a change that happens when he realizes the actual mantle of leadership is upon me and now I have to behave in a different way. Maybe he's just being an asshole kind of the way that I'm an asshole. I don't have to, no one answers to me, so I don't have to worry about hurting anybody's feelings. But the reality is, once you're in an organization and you're rising up, that becomes more and more important.
But, I mean, stuff like rotations and lineups and combinations, shouldn't that be Rick Carlisle's job?
Well, the idea is that he's providing information that helps Rick do his job better. And that's all, in a perfect world, that's all any of us want. We want someone who's going to be the decision maker, and then we want everybody else to be supplying information for the decision maker to use to make better decisions. I don't think it's Bob's way or the highway, but I do think Rick is on board with the suggestions that Bob makes.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
The most significant injuries from all of them are?
Oh, man. Kawhi Leonard, because indefinitely, and the rumble is perhaps out for the rest of the playoffs with this ACL sprain, ACL partial tear, you know, whatever, however they're classifying it. And so the Clippers truly don't have a chance. I mean, they might win this series, but they're not going to get much further. With regard to Chris Paul's COVID protocol, I don't know. We count it as an injury?
Yes.
Yes? Yes, okay. I mean, the deal is, allegedly, he is vaccinated, which doesn't mean you can't be in protocol, but it does mean you can get out of protocol sooner. And so if you're the Suns, you're rooting for a game seven in that other series, because the more you delay it, the more time Chris Paul has to come back. And so I expect him to be back, unless he actually has COVID. I expect him to be back in time for the start of the series. So I'm not as concerned about that one. The Danny Green one, oof, I mean, like, well, maybe that one was a big one for them, given how they shot last night. And then finally, Kyrie Irving. I think if Harden's healthy, then Brooklyn's all right with Harden and Durant. I think if Harden is not healthy and he's just been kind of faking it out there, then that probably puts a huge lid on Brooklyn's chances.
Mike Conley is the one that kind of gets left out in this discussion, because it happened like early on in the playoffs, and so everyone forgets that. I mean, Utah is not able to come back against the Clippers, at least in part because Donovan Mitchell, who himself is hurt, is probably doing too much because there's no Conley.
Yeah, yes and no, Witty, because Conley at least has a chance of coming back. He's got a chance to come back. And Donovan Mitchell, I would say, is probably the more important injury, because you're talking about, you talked about it last night, his lack of explosiveness. He can't, you know, get separation, and that's impacting. We saw in the second half of that game down the stretch where he just dribbles up and takes a three-pointer. Now the Jazz offense is all about dribble, drive, penetration, the ball moving around and everything, and all of a sudden we're just getting one guy dribble it up, take a three-pointer, and then run back, and that's not what's successful for them. So I would say Donovan Mitchell's injury, despite him actually playing and being on the floor, is more devastating to them than Mike Conley's absence.
Reggie Jackson, what the hell?
Ooh, yeah. Mr. October.
Yeah, Mr. June. Yeah.
Mr. June.
Stan Happy Van Gundy's June. Watching that after giving him a max deal and being like,
It just goes to show, though, like, you know, it's all about where you put people. You put people in a position to be successful. So in the case of Reggie Jackson in Detroit, they were asking too much of him. He's not good enough to do that every single night. But if you ask him to do it twice in the playoffs, you give him one of those, it was worth it, right? It, like, you're celebrating. The expectation is such a funny and fickle thing that if Paul George has that 30-point game in game five, and everyone's like, oh, Paul George did it, and he did a great job. And I'm like, Kawhi literally had a better stat line across the board, that because, oh, but that's what Kawhi always does. We just kind of like, all right, that's cool. But Paul George, we put his thing up on the fridge with a magnet right here, so the whole house can see what a great player you've been today, right? So that's why we kind of are derisive towards him, because he's paid like a guy who's supposed to do it every day. But in actuality, he's not the guy who's delivered it every single day in the playoffs. Now, he's done it the last two games, and they're on the brink of winning their series, and that's why we're like, all right, fine, now do it again.
I like Stan Van Gundy's analysis during Freedom when Stugatz asked him about the best team he had seen this year, and what he said is, what I saw from the regular season is the Utah was the team that can most consistently play to its highest level, but the Clippers are the most talented team, and that in the playoffs what you see happening is, more often than not, it's not about consistently playing to your highest level, but whose ceiling is higher, and he thought the Clippers' ceiling was higher. I don't see how the Clippers' ceiling can be higher, though, without Kawhi Leonard. I was still surprised, even with Utah being a little bit broken, I was surprised to see Paul George win a road playoff game like that.
Stan Van Gundy was on Freedom?
That's right.
And you remember?
I know Amin doesn't.
I asked the question,
Amin,
I don't remember.
Amin doesn't certainly remember. He was drunk by 3 o'clock. The Stan Van Gundy thing yesterday, how surprising was it to you? Because I know he was unhappy, but I don't think he was going, I didn't think it was going to last that short, and I assumed that he was run out because the younger player didn't like. I just saw some quotes that were damning from Brandon Ingram and others, that they didn't like how much he pressed. And it felt to me like that's exactly where and how game passes you by, when you go to evolution of the three-pointer and young people can't deal with the hard-ass coach.
Yeah, I think a lot of it puts a lot of pressure now on David Griffin, right? For making that move that quick. David Griffin's been the president of basketball ops there for 2.5 years, and he's had two coaches already, right? He had Alvin Gentry for 1 year. He got in before the year started. He had Alvin Gentry for one season. He had Stan Van Gundy for one season. Usually in the lifespan of a front office guy, you have your coach. He's there 3-4 years. Things aren't working out. Coach is a fall guy. You get your second coach. He's there 3 or 4 years. Then he's out. You know, he's the fall guy again. And then maybe on coach three, now we're like, wait a second. He's burning through coaches here. Are we convinced about your ability to select the right coach, let alone whether the coach did a good job or not? But that gives you almost a decade of cover. Griffith's burnt through that in 2 years, 2.5 years. So now it's like there's a lot of pressure on him to get this next pick right, because at some point we're going to have to start asking, wait, do you know what you're looking for? In the case of Stan, I don't think the X's and O's part passed him by, Dan. I think Stan understood the game and was modern in his understanding of the game. But I do think the bedside manner thing is real. I was talking to a player maybe like 2 or 3 years ago that played for us in Phoenix. He's an old vet, and he was telling me, I mean, you could never work again in this environment. I was like, what do you mean? He said, no, you're too much of an asshole, pretty much. If you were here, everyone would hate you, and all these players would just go into a shell because you tell them the way it is, and that's not how we can communicate anymore. The communication style has to change, and, you know, that's when I was like, okay, maybe I'll never come back then. But the reality is, for the Stan Van Gundys, for Jeff, who we keep hearing about a job maybe coming up and all that, for everyone who's been out for a couple of years, things are changing so much more rapidly that to go back to the way it was is impossible.
I mean, what did it land on?
What were the other topics again?
What did it land on? What do you mean? Were the other topics?
I can't, my glasses.
Asking you what it landed on. What do you mean? What were the other topics? Just what did it land on?
Coach is getting fired?
I think it landed on Obama. I didn't even know that was on there.
Wow. Wow. Who put that on there?
I didn't know that was even on there. Who did put that on there?
I don't know, but I request the second spin.
Please. All right, spin it again. Oh, it landed.
Sixers.
Cinephobe.
Oh, no, that's cinephile, actually. I think that's what they're landing on.
By the way, I have a bone to pick with you, Mr. Cody. You out here, you want to talk trash and talk tough with your fancy podcast where we talk to the newsmakers. Nobody wants to listen to newsmakers. You know what people want to listen to? Jokes. Jokes about bad movies. Or not bad movies, but movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and perhaps maybe didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe is what the people want, sir.
Ascertain.
Thank you. Are we spelling that in honor of Amin? A-S-S at the start with ascertain. See you later.
Now, Dan Lebatar, I'd say ascertain should be a t-shirt that you can find on the World of Suey website. Now, Chris Cody doesn't want that. Chris Cody wants some other highfalutin word on his shirt.
See you later, Amin. Thank you. Do you have anything for us before you leave on Jokic's crazy-ass rabid brothers? Because those people are terrifying. And Haberstroh told us the story that Jokic himself is only afraid of his brothers and that they raised him throwing knives at him.
Well, let me just tell you, like, Tom Haberstroh right now has been missing for the last 18 hours. So,
oh, boy.
Look, I learned from Bomani about Marvin Harrison. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Be careful, Amin. We care about you.
Okay, thank you, Amin. Well, I'm going to give you some weird breaking news in that I got a hotel report from the Delano of one of those Jokic brothers just destroying a hotel room and being banned from the premises like a year ago.
Wow.
Because it's one of those guys, if you didn't see the video of this, Juju sent it out and it went viral because those guys look rabid, and you have to be. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are you a crazy person if you wear a camo shirt under a basketball jersey?
They probably saw the towel policy.
That's got to be 100%, man.
But these people looked rabid. These people, we've told you before about just be careful in general with the war-torn country stuff. For example, none of you want any part of a Bogdanovich. None of you.
None.
Like, just be very careful.
I'm good.
With all of that. Put that on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Do any of you, really, to put it this way, really think about this for a second. Do any of you actually want a part of a Bogdanovich?
It's funny how that's turned, because it used to be when, like, the European guys entered the draft, they were the soft ones.
Garnett would pick on them.
Right. Yes. But now we kind of know, hang on a second, you don't mess with guys that have been in wars.
You don't even want any part of their brothers? Never
no.
mind.
Right. Oh, for sure.
Jokic himself is a loaf of bread. His brothers are nuts, and they looked rabid. One of them looked absolutely rabid. Did you see this video that people got scared for the same reason? Because they are drooling, frothing, 6'9" people that look like they're just made of granite, of bone cartilage. And if you hit them, nothing will happen other than you harm yourself.
You'll hurt your fist.
I just saw a lot of people just recoil with some fear of, like, that feels all foreign. It feels like something that you see as a bodyguard in the movie Hostel, outside of a place where they torture human beings. You just don't want anything to do with Jokic's brothers. I feel like we all had the same sort of visceral recoil of, those people have lived more than I have. Those people have more scars than I do. Those people would disembowel me with, like, tools in their glove compartment.
The story from Haberstroh is that they were, like, playfully throwing knives at each other, right? I mean, that's
fun and games in the Jokic household.
Like, boys being boys.
We're in agreement, correct? Everyone had the same reaction to this. I think, Billy, I thought of you the other day because I think...
Thanks.
This is Vin Diesel being quoted as saying of the next Fast and the Furious movie, quote, "I will say that nothing is off the table," end quote. I love that. I love that. What do you think he means by that?
Dan, nothing's off the table in F9. We all know that. I mean, they're going to space. We know that. Have you seen the reports about the Jurassic World crossover that could happen?
Yep.
Nothing's off the table, Dan. Nothing's off the table.
It's not in this one, is it? It's not going to be a Jurassic World.
No. Well, maybe. Who knows? Nothing's off the table.
I will say, quote, that nothing is off the table.
How big is the table, though?
Big enough so that nothing could be off of it.
You know what's around the table, Dan?
I do not.
Family.
They only go a quarter mile at a time around the table.
Just some Coronas and family. That's what this life's all about.
What are you excited about in this next one? What do you know that is on the table other than space?
I know that John Cena is Vin Diesel's brother, and I believe twin wow. brother. That I'm not certain of, but they are brothers, and they're on opposite sides of whatever their disagreement is.
Not that it's particularly relevant, but do we know the plot for Fast 9? Do we know what they're doing? Do
Does
we know
it
what's
matter?
Going on?
It's the same plot.
It's going to be fast. It's going to be furious.
Yeah.
It's going to be a ninth one. Time.
Yeah.
Plot.
We have a little blurb here. I believe it says, Dom Toretto is living the quiet life off the grid with Letty and his son, but they know that danger is always lurking over the peaceful horizon. This time, that threat forces Dom to confront the sins of his past, again, to save those he loves most. His crew soon comes together to stop a world-shattering plot by the most skilled assassin and high-performance driver they've ever encountered, Dom's forsaken brother.
Yes. Whoa. Yes.
Wow. Love a forsaken
yes.
brother.
Yes, you love. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you love a forsaken brother? The plot is just cars. And is it the most successful movie franchise ever? I don't know that we have any other nines out there. Do we? Do we have nines? Nine films made in one franchise and no end in sight.
Do you count like the Marvel or like DC comic cinematic universes, or is this like a separate thing because it's all the same person
the
starring in
the
every
Bond
single
movies,
one.
I guess.
The Rocky Creed franchise, I believe, just did the 8th movie.
Did they get to 8 already? Okay.
Creeds and 6 Rockies.
What's the plot of the last one?
Creed just had a baby.
So. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Also, Dan, a sad update, a subdate, if you will. It's not no end in sight. Allegedly, they will end after 11.
Oh, thank God.
But 11? That's the plan for now. That's the plan for now.
I love the idea of we'll end our movie franchise after our 11th edition.
Well, don't forget about the spinoffs Hobbs and Shaw, which I believe there's a Hobbs and Shaw 2 coming. So that could go on for who
knows
how long.
Wasn't that one bad, Billy? I saw like on a critical basis, it was not reviewed very well.
How dare you? No, sir. That was not a bad movie. In fact, and this is not a popular take, I think one of the best movies under the Fast umbrella.
Wow.
Hobbs and Shaw. Yeah. Cameos aplenty if you're a fan of cameos and big names.
Look at how pleased he is with himself.
So pleased.
And what are you pleased about? That you just got out there with the controversial take that Hobbs and Shaw...
No, I'm not pleased. I'm not pleased about that because that's not popular in the Fast universe to say that aloud. That's something that has me on the outs, along with the fact that I said that I had never gone on the Fast and Furious ride at Universal. That's something that, you know, the gearheads did not like for me to admit aloud.
You're on the outs with the Fast and Furious community?
Some. But, you know, this isn't a time, again, guys, we're about a week out from it coming here to the States. This is a time about family. So we have to put our differences aside, much like the Toretto brothers, and we're going to have to get together at the end. Get through this together. Family.
So would you like to hear the guest issue report from the Delano Hotel?
Ooh, please.
Oh, please. Are you kidding me?
Guest was extremely intoxicated and damaged the room.
What do you imagine it takes to intoxicate a Jokic brother?
A lot, man.
A gas tanker of 151 proof. Guest was violent and out of control, endangering the other guests in the room as well as the hotel. That means the actual structure.
Wow. The entire hotel.
Structure. It's many stories high. Girlfriend of the guest was advised he cannot return. She may return to retrieve her items. Room is double locked and security must accompany her to the room. If guest returns to property, police must be called.
Wow.
And police will not want to come.
Just police? I mean,
double locking.
Wow.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What it takes to intoxicate a Jokic, bro. I mean, I can't even imagine.
What, a Jokic? It's just, drunk?
Yeah.
It's the alcohol Stu Gods drank in college, like the rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. It's an IV drip of alcohol. God. The person at that front desk has the worst job on the planet, right?
Front desk at the Delano?
Any of the people
at the front desk who has to deal with the intoxicated Jokic's.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. But I would say front desk in general at the Delano is a dangerous game.
You know? I totally agree. Yeah.
The overnight shift there must be hard times.
Oh, boy.
The woman at the Fairwind just looked so beat down when I was checking in last week. She doesn't love her job.
Is there anything better than just like random morning sport? I love that just Ukraine and North Macedonia played a brilliant game of football.
Oh, no, this has been a great game, Woody.
Great I've been watching. Game.
There have been so many Ukrainian injuries, though. What is going on?
Yeah, and they're not, like, I don't know if they're time. I mean, now they would appear to be time-wasting, but... Yeah.
LeBron says it's because of the off-season situation.
Oh, my God, this LeBron. We need to have a go at this LeBron. Oh, my God.
Why would happen?
He went on, like, this tweet thread about how, he told everyone. That this season was going to go poorly with injuries.
Oh, really?
And, you know, Amin.
You need to read it. You need to read it, Stu Gods.
This Stu Gods. You in or you out? This Stu Gods is strong.
Stu Gods, read it, please.
Amin, hang on a second. I mean, I love you, and I love that you're emerging from the shadows. Okay. And I'm speaking on behalf of Tony here.
No, I'm here too.
Okay. When we're on YouTube, he has to create custom graphics for the number of people that are in the Zoom. And so do not turn off your cameras if you intend on being on the YouTube stream. And it affects the symmetry of all the Zoom windows. So if you're in,
it does not affect it,
Chris.
It does not affect it. It fucks it.
Oh, okay. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
So if you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out.
Sorry, Billy.
So I mean, if you want to hang out for the rest of the show, you're more than welcome to, but you have to stay in your Zoom window.
Stop turning me
or
on,
don't.
Tony.
Pick one.
No, I know what happened to Amin. He got the thank you, Amin, like it's time to go, but he wasn't ready to go, so he just turned off his camera so he could still hang out a little bit.
Do you have anything else to do?
I wanted to just lurk in the background and listen to the show.
You know? I mean,
I'll throw that.
Not with your camera. You could.
Yeah. Show is live
but
on
with
YouTube.
Your camera.
I mean,
now I have to keep my camera on the whole time, though.
Yeah, well, he was back. He just popped in. Like, he was gone.
He just pops in and out.
I liked it. I was surprised every time. I was like, oh. I was like, oh.
Oh, exactly.
Stu, guys, you really need to find what LeBron wrote because it's so over the top.
I will.
Stu, guys, I'm sending it to the chat.
I need to
meet it's, you.
I mean, can you just disable your camera for a quick second? Just, I want to see
something. Wow.
Oh, wow. It fixes it instantly. Wow.
Real Chrissy Teigen over here with a mean Tony.
I didn't say anything bad whatsoever.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean, Billy? Let's put you on the spot for a second.
You know what that means. Internet bully?
Oh, she's a major cyber bully. So, one of the worst.
I mean,
but
you
she
can hang
wrote
out.
A Medium apology, so isn't that
please.
You know, she's...
Yeah.
I mean, if you can hear me, you can hang out.
Is that an apology
real heartfelt.
On Medium, or is it like a like not quite a big apology, not quite a small apology?
Medium.com apology. That's where if your notes app apology is too long, you publish your apology.
Ooh, well, it's levels to these apologies, huh? It goes
yes.
Tweet, Notes app, Medium, and then what's the...
YouTube video, I think, would be the next step with crying. I think Today's Show would be one step above YouTube video.
That's after, apology. Like, the next two sponsors pull out, then it's like, oh, I'm sorry.
There's, like, a Joe Rogan appearance non-apology somewhere in that hierarchy.
Oh, Lord.
That's doubling down. That's when you double down.
Yeah.
You go to Joe Rogan.
Like, you know, Kevin Hart or whatever.
I mean,
yes.
Do you intend on staying in the Zoom for the next hour of the show and participating?
Do it. I dare you.
I mean, I'd hate to impose.
No.
Oh, for crying out loud, man.
No. I'm inviting you. It's not up to me, but I'll invite you.
It's not up to Billy.
All right. Dan is good with it. So if you want to do it, you're in.
But stay in.
Okay.
But
yeah,
okay.
He's
right.
Back.
Okay.
I'm back, baby.
Just please
back.
Do not turn off your camera until the show is over.
Never.
Never. Acid. Is
all right. Give me like five, like 3 minutes to reorganize.
All right, we'll reconstruct our triple box and our quadruple box and our boxes.
Septuplet.
Oh, love a septuplet.
Real burden you are.
I know. See how they did, Billy?
Fault,
it was like,
your fault,
no, it's.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.